Well, we're turning to the Word of God. We're turning to John chapter 5, the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. Could I say how pleased I am to be here to share fellowship with you. We're grateful for the words of welcome. We're also covetous with regards to your prayers, not only for tonight, obviously, but also down the line, as has been indicated. We do intend, in the will of God, to make our way to Port Lincoln. As Dr. Douglas has indicated, we're going south, a little way further south than most go, somewhere in the region of 12,000 miles. It's quite a journey, but we're looking forward to it. We're very much excited about it, and we are very much looking to the Lord in this regard. Now, this evening, it's John 5. Our text is verse 6. Verse 6 of John chapter 5. The subject this evening is the question of salvation. The question of salvation. And our text is verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? We need the Lord's help with this text and this subject, and we'll seek him very briefly now in a word of prayer. Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the meeting thus far, for the messages and song, for the reading of thy word. And we pray, Lord, that this night thou would speak especially to sinners. Thou would speak the word of life. Thou would bring sinners to thyself. And to this end I pray that thou would fill me with thy Spirit, that I might speak those things which are pleasing to thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Asking and answering questions is a commonplace part of life. The questions, of course, may vary in importance, and that often depends according to the circumstances and who it is that is asking the question. For example, tomorrow someone may ask you, well, what sort of a weekend did you have? That's not a particularly important question. It's the sort of thing someone asks to start a conversation. However, if you were to find yourself in a court of law, if you were in the witness box, and you were questioned with regards to what you did or where you were on a particular date, at a particular time, then you can see that the question takes on an altogether different level of importance. Here in John chapter 5, a man is questioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. I would argue it is for this man the most important question of his life. It is a question that is so pertinent to his condition. It is so pertinent to the situation he finds himself in. And we read there in John 5 and verse 6 that the Lord Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? I want you to focus in on that question. Wilt thou be made whole? This is a question, I believe, that can be extended beyond the immediate circumstances of this chapter. I believe it is a question that we can put rightly and put properly to every unconverted person in this gathering. Wilt thou be made whole? You who have a burden of sin, you who are laboring under the awful weight of sin, you who possess a sin-sick soul, we can say to you tonight, Wilt thou be made whole? Or if you want, we can put it in even blunter terms. Do you want to be saved? Now this evening we're going to look at this. We're going to look at it in a very straightforward way. First of all, we want to think of the question itself. And I think if you look at it, in the first instance, it certainly seems to be
a very strange question for the Lord to ask. After all, this man, as we have read, he was genuinely ill. Verse 5 tells us he was a man who had an infirmity. Verse 6, the Lord sees him lying. He is a man who is overcome with his illness. He is, moreover, in verse 7, the title is given to him, the impotent man. It's clear then, from these verses, here is one who is at Bethesda, and he is genuinely ill. He's at Bethesda. He's in the place where it is known that healing takes place. He has come to the pool of Bethesda. Verse 2 tells us that is where he has come. He has come to the place, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. He has come there because, as verse 4 declares, at particular times an angel goes down into the pool and troubles the water. And whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepping in is made whole of whatever disease they may have. He is sick. He has come to the place where healing takes place. He's there on the Sabbath day. He's there with a great multitude. All eyes are upon the pool. All eyes are watching and waiting. We know, moreover, from the chapter that he had on occasions, continually in fact, he had attempted to be made whole. Verse 7, in his response to the question of the Savior, the impotent man says, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." So you have there a man who is obviously ill, a man who has come to Bethesda, who has come with healing in his mind, a man who has attempted on previous occasions to be made whole, and yet the Lord still brings to him this question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" It seems on the face of it a strange question. Yet this evening, you who are out of Christ, you are a sin-sick soul. You have come to a place where the gospel is ministered. You have come to a place where on previous occasions many have found the Lord. You have come upon this night. You have come upon the gospel service night. And yet as you sit here listening to me ministering the word, you're not saved. And we have to put the question to you, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Oh, it's not such a strange question when you think of it in that way. Of course, it's a very needful question. A very needful question. This man had become used to his condition. It was noted in the reading, verse 5, that he was a man who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years he had been like that. 38 years he had labored under this dreadful condition. Probably most, if not all, of his lifetime. You know, it's possible for you to get into the way of coming to gospel services. It's maybe possible for some here, taught the gospel from your earliest days, come through a Sunday school, come out to church Sunday night by Sunday night, hearing the message of the gospel, leaving the service without the Savior, and it's become for you a way of life. You've become used to your condition. And we have to bring it to you again this evening. Do you want to be saved? Wilt thou be made whole? This man was used to his condition. I don't believe he had any particular heightened expectation upon that day, that that was a day in which he would be made whole of his disease. Coming to Bethesda was a way of life for him. It was what he did. Yet he came and he thought to himself, "I will not get into the water first. There will be others before me. I will be left as I have always been left."
And oh, I wonder this evening, as you have come here tonight, you have come for a service. Perhaps you enjoy the singing. You enjoyed our brother ministering and so on. But the thought of coming to the Saviour is at the very back of your mind. You didn't leave your house this evening thinking, this is the night that I will make things right. This is the night that I will come right in. The night that I will close with Christ. Oh, men and women, I have to put it to you. It's a needful thing for you. Whether or not you have come here just for another meeting, I have to say to you, in the plainest terms, you are playing fast and loose with your soul. And you need to be saved. And it's no good putting it off. It's no good going through the motions for another hour. This is a night when God is bringing to your attention a message from His Word. It's a question for you. It's a question concerning your salvation. And the Lord is putting it to you. Wilt thou be made whole? This man must declare his inability. Don't you see that in verse 7? Don't you see how he has come to Bethesda? But he says to the Lord, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, I am without help. I need help. I need help to be delivered of this dreadful infirmity. I am in a hopeless place. Look what he says. I have no man to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down after me. He puts it to the Lord. I cannot rid myself of this dreadful disease, this infirmity. Oh, how like the sinner that has to be. I would say to you this evening, you need to realize that you have no ability in yourself to rid yourself of the dreadful affliction and burden of sin. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. You're just as helpless as this poor man was. Your condition is just as hopeless. You need the Lord. This was a needful question. And then, of course, it was a very opportune question. An opportunity presents itself here. An opportunity. An unlikely opportunity, certainly. We know there was a great multitude there. We know the place, as it were, it was absolutely packed. And yet out of that multitude, one man has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. How unlikely that seems, yet it happened. It was a unique opportunity for him. 38 years he has had this infirmity. 38 years and nothing has happened. He has continued on day in, week in, week out, year in, year out. And then on a particular day, at a particular time of the day, in a conversation which, it would seem here, lasts only a matter of moments, a short space of time, an opportunity presents itself, and this man is delivered. This man is saved from that which afflicts him. It's a unique opportunity. Oh, I want you to get this evening, there's an opportunity for you. There's an opportunity for you to have the matter of your soul settled once and for all. To be totally delivered from your sin. To be firmly and surely saved. To have assurance ere you leave this house that your sin is forgiven. That the blood of Christ covers your soul. There's an opportunity. You know, it wasn't a noticed opportunity, it was unnoticed. There was a great multitude there, but all eyes were elsewhere. They were looking at the water. They were concentrating there. No one noticed the Lord Jesus with this man. No one noticed. I don't suppose the great bulk of the people of Lisburn take much notice of a gospel service such as this. Oh, there may be some thinking of us, praying for us, some with an association here. But the great bulk of people, what is going on here, it's totally unnoticed. And perhaps this evening God is working in your heart. This is the night He's working. He's speaking to you. He's bringing the matter of your sin to your attention. He's showing you the great salvation there is in Jesus Christ. It's known to you. It's not known to the person next to you. Not known certainly to the preacher. But it's known to you. It's unnoticed. But men and women, a real opportunity exists for you nonetheless. An opportunity to be saved. An opportunity to be delivered. An opportunity to come to the Lord. An unnoticed opportunity. Certainly an unforgettable opportunity. This man would have a testimony of God's grace. He would have a testimony of an experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. A life-transforming experience for him. And oh, I so pray this night that there will be those who will leave this place and they'll not be testifying so much to the visit from a preacher. They'll be testifying to the fact that God has visited. They'll be witnessing to the fact that God has stepped into their life. That God has given them the peace, the joy. That God has saved them. You here this evening, you're out of Christ. You're here on this night. God's directing you to this question. He's asking the question. He's asking it to you personally. Wilt thou be made whole? This is the question. Let me give some attention to the one who has asked the question here. The Lord Jesus Christ is the questioner. And as we look at him and think of him, we must remember that he is here the knowledgeable questioner. This is not a speculative question. This is a question brought by one who has some knowledge of the situation, who has knowledge of the individual. You note that in our text, when Jesus saw him lie, the Lord has knowledge of his present state. He sees him as he is now. The Lord has knowledge of his past condition. We read in that verse 6, our text, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now in a long time in that case. The Lord knew about his past. He had knowledge with regard to that. And then, of course, his question really relates to the future. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Men and women, let me say to you tonight, the Lord knows where you stand. The Lord knows your present. Perhaps there is, and we may put it in this way, perhaps there is a secret backslider here. As far as the people in the church are concerned, you're going on with the Lord. You're in your place upon the Lord's day. But the truth of the matter is your heart is very far from him. It's unknown to the people. It's unknown perhaps even to your family and your closest friends. But be aware of this. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. You can't hide it from him. Can't hide it from him. I think of an unconverted person here. Long years of sin behind you. The Lord knows all about those years of sin. He knows moreover all about the times you have sat under his word. Knows all about the seasons when others have come to Christ. When meetings have been convened and the Lord has really moved. And you have sat on. You have hardened your neck against his word. You have rejected the Christ of God. You have left the place trampling underfoot the blood of the Son of God. The Lord knows all about it. He knows your past. But he still comes to you with all of that in mind. He with all of that knowledge. He still comes this evening. And the offer of mercy is there. The offer of forgiveness is there. He asks the question.
He asks the question with regard to your future. Wilt thou be made whole?
Men and women, I am interested this evening in your future. I am not so much interested in your past sins, what you have done. I am interested in the here and now and what you will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the knowledgeable questioner. Of course, praise God, he is the merciful questioner. Bethesda was a place of mercy, but not for this man. Not for this man. He says to the Lord, Sir, I have no one. I have no one to help me. I am in that place where no one cares for me. He was regular there, but no man cared for him. And you know, in a very real way, that's the same with you. That's the same with you. But in this chapter we read that no man cared for him until the Lord came by. Until Jesus was passing that way. And then he found one who had a heart of mercy. He found one who loved him. He found one who was able to deliver him. No man cares for your soul in the way that the Lord cares for your soul. I am thankful that in my unsaved days there were Christian people and they prayed for me. I am thankful for Sunday school teachers who witnessed to me and told me of Christ the mighty to save. But I am very conscious that while those people had a care for my soul, that is dwarfed by the great care that the Lord Jesus Christ had. That is dwarfed by the love of the Lord. That love that was demonstrated at Calvary. That love that was there. The mercy of God demonstrated for me. You need the Lord this night. You need the one who cares for your soul. You need the merciful questioner. You need the powerful questioner. Isn't it striking here the title given to this man? He is the impotent man. And what we have here in John 5 is a meeting of the impotent man with the omnipotent Christ. It's a meeting of the powerless man with the all-powerful Christ. It's a meeting of the man who was unable to deliver himself with the one who is able to deliver. You know, that's a description. That's a description of every meeting that a sinner has with the Savior. I have no power to save you. You have no power to save yourself. But we read this night in the Gospel of John of the one who is able to speak that word of salvation for your soul. We read this night of the all-powerful God of heaven who is able to forgive you, able to cleanse you, able to transform your life. We're not talking this evening about someone who's going to take the rough edges off you. This man was completely cured. This man was completely delivered. His life was utterly turned upside down, transformed by the power of God. And we're saying to you, the powerful Christ is able to turn your life around, able to transform you. You come this evening and you say, Preacher, but I couldn't keep it. I have so much sin in my heart. There are so many matters in my life, I just wouldn't be able to go on in the Christian life. I say to you, I know a Savior. I have a Savior who's able to transform your life. I have a Savior who's able to take the things of the world and make them hateful and detestable to you and give you a love for Him
and for his word. You're left without excuse. You have no excuse this evening for turning away. You have no excuse for hardening your neck against the Lord. He is the powerful questioner. He is the one who is able to save your soul. He is the one who is able to command the blessing. He is the one for you. He is the one for you now. And then, praise God, he is the life-giving questioner. That's so evident here. This man, you see, was looking for life in his dead limbs. He was an impotent man. He wanted life again in those limbs. He has come to Bethesda. He has come to the water. The water in his mind has the life-giving power. If he can only get in. If he can only get in on time. Then he meets the Lord. The Lord who gives him life. The Lord who gives him life. Now I don't think it's a coincidence that we read in John 4 of the Lord's witnessing to the woman of Samaria and the wonderful events that happened with regard to that. And what was a major feature of that conversation? It was the question of water. And the Lord reminded the woman of Samaria that he is the one that gives the life-giving water. He is the one who gives that water that bubbles up into everlasting life. We read moreover in John chapter 10 with regards to the Lord Jesus that he is the one who has come with a purpose. He has come with a purpose. John chapter 10 and verse 10, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Moreover, in the same chapter, he declares, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Here is the Lord, the life giver. Unregenerate humanity is dead in its sins. There's not a spark of spiritual life in it. Dead in its sins. This man's limbs were dead. He was an impotent man. But he has an encounter with the life-giving Savior. The one who gives the living water. The one who has come to give abundant life. The one who gives eternal life. Men and women, the Lord is speaking this evening. He is speaking to you. You who are dead in trespasses and sins. He is speaking to you concerning the matter of your soul. And he's bringing it to your attention. He's able to give you life. He is the life-giving Savior. He is the one who gives the living water. The water that will truly satisfy your soul. He's the one who gives abundant life. Even eternal life. O men and women, will you not close with him tonight? We invite you to Christ. We invite you to the knowledgeable, the merciful, the powerful, and the life-giving questioner. It only remains for you to come. Will you come? Will you come? You have heard a sermon. You have had this verse brought to your attention. It's a question. Wilt thou be made whole? Will you come to the Lord and be made whole? Made whole this night. Will you be saved? I am praying that the Lord will speak to you. I am praying that this will be a night not for you to prevaricate, not to shrug your shoulders and say, I'll think about it and I'll put it off. But rather, this would be the meeting when you will come right through. For the Lord. This is the hour. This is the question God is asking. He's asking you now. Will you come? Will you be made whole? Will you accept the Savior? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. For his name's sake. Amen.